Thank you so much for organizing this webinar, and it would be me and Colo, my colleague, that will talk about the link between digital work and global trade law. And I think you made the plain link actually quite obvious in your presentation. That is this cross-border element that we have that is very common in the provision of digital work. So we'll be focusing on trade law, looking at the relevant aspects of the law of the World Trade Organization, but also give you a sense of the developments that we have in preferential trade venues, which of course are advancing at a higher pace. And we do see some, at least some provisions that deal directly with digital labor. And then Paula will build upon this and also share some thoughts about the future of digital work, taking AI into consideration, and what are sort of the trade law relevant aspects to these developments. So what is important with regard to WTO law to highlight is that although it does not expressly deal with digital work, there are many elements of it that can be relevant. And something that is important is a law that comes from the multilateral organization that regulates all trade, so it comes with certain systemic virtues and now has almost a universal membership post MC13 with 166 members. There are different sort of sets of rules within the broader body of WTO law that are relevant. Of course, the WTO agreements, in particular here, the General Agreement on Trade and Services, but we can also see that there are sort of sets of rules that can be deemed to be sort of GATS plus that address digital trade in particular more specifically. In terms of the concepts and sort of the relevance of the developments, it should be mentioned that in the area of international trade law, the concepts are not necessarily entirely new about digital work. They can be linked to some things that you mentioned in the beginning, Matthias. And this is the more trade and services that we see because of digitization, the so-called process of certification. There are also some developments around the global value chains as well as trading tasks. What I would like to highlight in this context, and maybe we can talk about this later on, is the importance of data. So the regulation of data in this trade agreements very much can be linked to the regulation of digital work. And you mentioned sometimes it can be more or less restrictive, and this is going to have an impact on the development of digital work as well. Now, turning to the GATS, we do have, of course, one of the important WTO agreements. It regulates all services sectors, so this is absolutely critical, and it applies the major non-discrimination principles of WTO law. Nonetheless, it does come with certain limitations, or there are certain challenges that can be linked to sort of the technological advances that have not been fully addressed under WTO law. And some of them are linked to what you mentioned previously, so this different modes of supplying a service. And here, what is important to highlight is that this is going to change over time, as you rightly pointed out. However, we do have certain commitments already there. And the commitments are, on the one hand, first, there is a question how a certain provision will be classified under mode one or two, and there are different commitments, in particular, relatively low commitments under mode one, the cross-border trade supply of a service. Something that I would like to also mention in this context is that, you know, the way countries committed for different services sectors is based on a certain classification list, so of all services sectors that we have out there. And this classification list is based on a classification of the services sectors from 1991. So we have really an outdated classification list, which of course poses the questions how new services will be classified, ones that are not part of this or a digitized version of this services sector. This is not a trivial question, not at all, because what we have are very, very different commitments across the different relevant services sectors. And here, just to give you an example, here we have prepared sort of a presentation across the different sectors, but what can appear to be the most relevant ones, computer and related services sectors, almost full commitments. The same is true for the telecommunications services sector, going well beyond what we have in the guts. And then, however, we have for media services sectors a very low level of commitment. So this poses a lot of questions around how the newer services will be integrated, whether they are going to fall under one of those sectors, because the commitments are very different. And this is, of course, then also exasperated by the very different commitments across the modes of supply, as you rightly pointed out before. And I will hand now over to Colo, who is going to give you a sense of the more substantive provisions that we have coming from the GUTS.
Thank you so much, Mira. So I think Mira very well explained the fact that although the GATS obviously doesn't have provision specifically to digital work or digital services as a provision of a service, and within the GATS, what is covered is the service and the service supplier. So really, it's not only, you know, the legal service, but also the lawyer that would be, or the legal professional that will be covered by the GATS. That would benefit, you know, potentially if there is an issue with a cross-border supply of a service. So to give you an example, you know, if an Indian worker providing some back office operation services in India would be covered as well as the service as well, although they'll be working on a platform like Upwork, which is a US company, for example. And so some of the provisions that would apply would be most favored nation, which and national treatment, which is basically a discrimination. So it really essentially says that you cannot treat service supplies and services from different countries differently or differently from your own national service suppliers. Obviously, as Mira was saying, there have been some market access obligations that have been made by WTO members, although, as she was saying, that they are, you know, very limited in some very important aspects or in very important sectors to digital trade, but nonetheless, they are. I just want to highlight on the next slide that some of the provisions that would apply, for example, would be general exceptions. So, for example, if a country violated, you know, some sort of measure, you know, for example, if there was a discriminatory measure treating digital services, for example, differently from services that were provided by a human being, for example, those are some of the questions that come up whether they lack services. But within the GATS, there are exceptions, of course. There are many different types of one. What we've put on the slides right now is actually there's one exception that specifically deals with data protection and data privacy, which is something that Mira alluded to earlier, in that if there was a measure adopted by a country to control the flow of data across country because it's of personal nature, that member could, of course, invoke the privacy exception within the GATS. We can move on to the next slide. So what has been interesting in WTO law, though, as Mira was saying, some of these, you know, lists have been, you know, put up in 1991, there has been some case law that applies actually to the digital era. And one of the first ones is cross-border gambling services between the US and Antigua and Barbuda. And basically in this case, members are not allowed to restrict the cross-border supply of services. So obviously it had to do with some interpretation of the undertakings, but essentially the appellate body and the panels have ruled that you know, with an evolutionary interpretation of the services that were committed, that they also apply to cross-border supply of services. So it's really opened up the GATS, which is basically, you know, very an analogous agreement into, obviously, into the digital era, which could be obviously helpful if there are any disputes that members might run into. So we can move on to the next slide. So, I mean, without really getting into the weeds of the type of issues that would apply implications, obviously, under the GATS and PTAs, which is actually what Mia will cover in her section, is issues like data localization requirements, of course, requiring that data is processed or localized within the territory of a certain country, cross-border data flows limitations, including data protection laws, discriminatory trade or burdensome testing and certification requirements for lawyers or for accountants, internet filtering, throttling, site blocking, or paid prioritizations. Obviously, these are measures that try and block certain service providers or services being provided on the internet that could obviously have a GATS or PTA implication, and also the restrictions on electronic payment systems that could also have international trade law implications. So I think I will hand over to Mira to touch on the, sorry, before going on to that, I just want to mention very, very quickly that this issue on moratorium customs duties was a big issue in the ministerial conference 13 that just happened in Abu Dhabi last week. And essentially, this is a WTO rule that says that the members have agreed not to impose tariffs, customs duties, on electronic transmissions. So electronic transmissions in these cases would be things like, you know, downloads of videos, music streaming, movie streaming, software, ebooks, et cetera, where the, you know, WTO members agreed not to, you know, to have them be tariff free. And of course, the implications of applying tariffs on these services or digital products could be enormous. But WTO members have agreed to maintain this customs duty moratorium for at least another 2 years until the next ministerial conference or the 31st of March, 2026, whichever happens earlier. So essentially what's going to happen is a rule that has been in place for many, many years is probably going to be changed, and we'll see what's going to happen going forward as to how do we tax these digital products and digital services, which is obviously a huge issue for many WTO members, especially developing countries that seek to, you know, raise some revenue with these products. On to Mira.
Thank you so much. Perhaps you are aware that next to this sort of WTO work program on e-commerce, what we have is a plurilateral initiative to move towards an agreement on electronic commerce, or a very specific agreement that only includes some of the WTO members, currently 90 of those. And there is a momentum now in these negotiations, and the plan is to complete them by the end of the year. We're going to have a round of negotiations just next year. What is important to highlight in this regard, that there would be important norms with regard to the so-called facilitation of electronic commerce. So, e-transactions, electronic contracts, electronic signatures, etc. So the red tape is likely to be cut in this regard, and there will be sort of the threshold of participation for a role of also digital workers, digital entrepreneurs will be thus enabled. However, on the other hand, it's very unlikely that this agreement is going to contain norms on data flow. So a ban on data localization measures and a norm on the free data flows, especially considering the turn, sort of the turn in the position of the United States, which announced last year in November that it's not going to push for any norms in this regard, a major change in its position for the last 2 decades. So this is an important initiative, and it should be said, however, that it very much sort of reflects what has happened already in this field in preferential trade agreements. And they, of course, they do have some important norms with regard to labor more generally and services. But what we see quite clearly is that the regulation of digital trade is increasing with denser norms, more binding norms over the years. And we do have a data set in this regard where you can find all the relevant information in this regard. What is interesting is that you can see all the norms that are relevant. I would again here put really a sort of a focus on data flows. I do trust that those provisions have a more sort of immediate impact to digital work. And this includes, as I mentioned, this free flow of data provisions to which, you know, the United States, the EU and other countries have already committed. So there is already something out there. And also this ban on data localization measures, which comes in a little bit in tandem with this. Just to give you an example of how this is relevant, Just last week, I got contacted by a firm in Ontario. They had a digital platform that provides, you know, certain public health services in Canada. And Ontario said, well, we won't register this firm because the servers are fully in the United States, and we feel that the sensitive data of Canadian citizens would not be adequately protected. At the same time, however, the updated NAFTA, so the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, does have a provision on free data flows and ban on data localization measures. So you see here how important this link actually is, and it has an immediate impact on the availability of such services and the freedom to provide them in another country. Then finally, what is really interesting and very new, because it comes only from this new generation of digital economy agreements, are new provisions on digital inclusion, and with a focus on, you know, enabling medium and small enterprises, women workers, entrepreneurs, digital skills. So there is a link here between this digital connectivity and the provision of certain digital services. And you see here an example coming from the Singapore UK digital economy agreements, which is one of the most advanced models that we have out there. And with this, I hand over back to Kolo to talk about AI implications.
Thank you. So I'm just going to wrap up quickly, just to show that there is an increasing, obviously, provision of AI services across countries. And we see that, you know, the more advanced economies, so AEs, are those that have more and more services that have been provided via AI. But as we know, there's some services that are provided purely through AI, but then there's some services that are also, you know, used as tools for digital workers as well. And so we see that there is a lot of opportunity, but also there will be, you know, some skills, you know, upgrading that needs to be done. But there are also obviously threats to employment, especially in the lower income countries that do not have the digital skills. But if I go to the next slide, I will just discuss the relevance to AI and, you know, especially with the digital work and digital platform that the digital platform work that we're speaking to today. It's really going to be interesting to see going forward how AI would be defined under the GATS. You know, because if you see in the definitions of the GATS, it really doesn't fall squarely within that. Is it a service? It doesn't really go into, because we have to speak to what GATS obviously protects as a person of a member, which is usually a live person or a company. AI being neither, the question is, would then the AI fall under an employee of a person, which obviously in that case would become the person, which is the juridical person providing a service. So this is going to be interesting going forward. But obviously, another question would be, did members actually commit to the provision of AI services? And one of these questions that could be answered is maybe in the case law that we saw that, well, you know, once you open up a service sector, you actually commit to all means of provision of a service under that sector. And so these are going to be very interesting questions that are going to be thrown up in WTO law. But obviously, when we look at the PTAs, as Mira has explained, they are clear commitments under artificial intelligence that would have implications directly and not sort of, you know, the via route through WTO law. And so I think we should conclude there. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And we look forward to any questions that you may have.